Chapter 1. The beginning of my story. It is my pleasure to introduce myself to you as Lloyd Calvin Glover. I'm a soldier and an ambassador for Christ. The Bible says that every Christian has been given a measure of faith and as an ambassador for Christ. Every one of us has been given something special that God wants us to do for His kingdom and to share with others about His goodness, grace, and mercy. Now that I am older, much wiser, and full of faith, I can look back at the history of my life and recount how my childhood growing up as a young Negro kid in America was awakened by the racial tensions of the 60s and 70s, affected by the events of the Vietnam War, and strengthened my participation as a Christian soldier in the Gulf War, serving in the defense of the nation of Israel, and a year later, serving in the defense of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And then my life in ministry after my retirement from the United States Army. The Holy Spirit has appointed me to say that every airman, Coast Guardsman, Marine, sailor, soldier, and government worker who is a true believer in Christ and does the will of the Father, who is serving or has served our great nation to the glory of God, doing his or her part in the advancement of God's kingdom, is also a representative and an ambassador for Christ. It does not matter if you are just a new believer, choir member, Sunday school teacher, or someone leading a ministry. We all have our part to play in the advancement of God's kingdom. God is no respecter of persons. I cherish the fact that God is not only the author and finisher of my faith, but also the commander of my salvation and my life. I knew when I was 10 that my steps had been ordered and protected by God. The spirit in me knew that I was going to join the military. I also understood spiritually that this was the career path that God has chosen for me. God allowed me to make the decision to either serve in the Army or the Marines. I was really leaning towards joining the Marines because of their beautiful uniforms and their proud history. However, I felt deep in my spirit that the Air Force, Army, Coast Guard, and Navy had a proud history in war and peace too. But the Army was the branch of service that I felt was perfect for me. So, I chose the Army. It was early in my military career when I discovered, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that I could serve in the military and represent Christ at the same time, no matter where I was stationed in the world. I felt the power of God that had anointed me to be both a soldier and an ambassador for Christ. The joy of knowing who I am in Christ and who I represented allowed me to be both an anointed soldier in God's army and a good soldier in the greatest army and country in the world. Both assignments I always did to the glory of God. Amen. My life experiences under the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit had increased my understanding and love for the body of Christ. The three Abrahamic religions, faith, humanity, and the nature of God. Once when I was praying in the Spirit, I was bold enough to ask God two questions. I asked God, "What did I do to deserve your amazing love, mercy, and grace? And why did you choose me to be one of your representatives and ambassadors for Christ?" God responded to me in a gentle whisper to my spirit and said, "Lloyd, my son, because I am that I am, there is no other. Because of my son, whom you have accepted as your savior, who you called Jesus, who paid it all on the cross at Calvary, and because I have loved you with an everlasting love, even before you were a seed and soul planted in your mother's womb, and because I will have need of you, my son, you will see in due season the reason why we have chosen you." I cried, spoke in tongues, and lay prostrated on the floor of my private space for what seemed like hours, realizing for the first time in my life that God, God of all creation, spoke my name, and that He Himself said that I was needed and chosen by Him to do something for His kingdom in due season. Amen. Every one of us has been given a unique assignment and story that God has purposely placed within our spirit. Your story, just like my story, can only be told by you. God has commissioned me with this anointed assignment to recount and share my story, which includes the good, the bad, and the ugly experiences that I have encountered throughout my lifetime. Your story, just like my story, and those of our brothers and sisters that were Christ's first ambassadors of the early church, and had a story to tell that was passed down for generations to know and to enjoy. That is why Christianity is so rich in Bible history, and why we have the Bible today, and other Christian resource materials. Our stories, when written in books and shared with the world, is a testament and a sweet taste and an expression of the grace, mercy, saving power, and the goodness and faithfulness of our God that we have experienced for ourselves. It is also a sweet sound to hear the hearing of God when it is read out loud, just like the first ambassadors of the early church and those brothers and sisters that were first called Christians at Antioch, and every believer of Christ since then down to the present day believers. We all have something worth passing on about our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Our published words can be an everlasting testament about our life and love of God. Let our written words serve as proof that we were once here and that we had a father-son or father-daughter relationship with our Creator. Let our written words be like that shiny star in the sky to the world and to our future generations that our lives did matter and that our journey with God was a divine truth worth sharing and shouting about. Our life lessons, when shared, could be the catalyst that can save generations to come. I believe by faith that the Holy Spirit is my co-author that is guiding and inspiring my every thought as I write my life story. I pray that the treasures of my life story and what is contained in this book is a teaching tool to enhance the knowledge and love for the one who sits high and lifted up in his throne. Amen. Let me take this opportunity to do what God has commissioned me to do by recounting and sharing my life story. I grew up in a small town located in central New Jersey called Plainfield. I was only 2 years old when my parents, Sammy and Eva Joanne Glover, fulfilled the American dream by buying their first home in May of 1960. The Johnson family was the first Negro family to move into the segregated middle-class neighborhood on the east side of town. My family was the second Negro family to settle into this neighborhood. We moved in a couple of days after the Johnsons family did. We moved into two houses down on the same side of the street from the Johnsons. It did not take long before my parents and the Johnsons became good friends and realized that several white families were starting to move out. I was too young at the time to know, but my mother told me years later that they suspected that those families that did move out the neighborhood did so because they did not want to live in or to be known as a white family that lived in a neighborhood that had Negro families living among them. Mom also said that it was like a chain reaction. As one white family moved out, one more Negro family moved in. The white families that stayed were known as good neighbors. Most of them were Christians that believed in God and believed in the Bible truth that we all were created by the same God, that we all were created equal. Those families that stayed became good neighbors and friends to our parents. The children became our childhood and lifelong friends, even to this day. One of those families that still live there today is the Meekler family. Our families have maintained our friendship through time. We also have the pleasure of watching our sons and daughters and some of our grandkids growing up in this same neighborhood that raised us as kids. My youngest sister, Mary, was able to purchase our parents' home later in life. This kept our parents' dream alive that their treasured home would remain in the family after they were gone. Mary is living there today with her husband, Eric, and they are raising their youngest son, Marcellus, in her childhood home. Sure, even back then, in our neighborhood, we had to share fights and disagreements about various issues like some neighbors do. But none of these verbal fights or disagreements led to any physical fights, nor were they ever racially motivated. Just like good neighbors, we were able to work out our differences, and we were able to continue with our friendships. We all took pride in welcoming every new family that moved into our neighborhood with open arms, regardless of their skin color, nationality, or religious preference. My first thoughts and my desires to let God know how I felt about him began November 23rd, 1963, a day that I can still remember all too well. The events that unfolded that afternoon on this tragic day not only affected my young life, but affected the lives of the entire world. The day created a historical date that was recorded in the annals of American and world history. On this day, I was a 5-year-old kindergarten student sitting at a small wooden desk at Woodland Elementary School. Woodland had a morning and afternoon kindergarten class. I was in the afternoon class. My kindergarten teacher's name was Mrs. Coward. She was genuinely nice and loved teaching her students. I enjoyed playing games, and I was a friend to every student in my classroom. We had just finished playing musical chairs and had just sat down at our assigned wooden desk when suddenly, the telephone on the wall in our classroom began to ring. We all got silent, because the only time that the phone would ring is when someone was being sent home or someone was called down to the principal's office because they were in trouble. Mrs. Coward, my teacher, answered the telephone. You could see the sadness that covered her face as she listened to the person speaking to her on the other end. I could tell by her facial expressions and by the tears that were starting to slowly stream from her eyes that something bad must have just happened. You could also hear the commotion of students in the hallway that sounded like they were preparing to leave the school. You could also hear the teachers that were standing near our classroom door that were talking amongst themselves. I could also remember hearing some of the teachers crying. Whatever it was, I thought to my young self that it must have been bad enough, because when Mrs. Coward hung up the telephone, she told us that we were going to be dismissed right away and that we needed to go straight home to our parents. I really thought the world was ending on this day because we were always practicing those scary air raid drills. I once asked my father about these drills. He explained to me that the reason we practiced so many of these drills is because the Russians were our enemy. They did not like Americans, and they could come and attack us any day. He also said that our principal, teachers, and our parents wanted to make sure that we were prepared in school by practicing some of these drills, just in case that the Russians did come to attack us. I can still remember slowly walking home by myself on those long, lonely 2 blocks from school to my house. It was a 5-minute walk, but today, it seemed longer. I kept on thinking, and I could still hear Dad's voice that was haunting my mind about the fact that the Russians were coming. I was sad as I thought about my teacher, Mrs. Coward, and all of my friends from school that I thought I would never see or play with again. Just as soon as I arrived home from school, I looked through our half-glass dorm door. I could see Mama sitting in the front room with 5 or 7 of our Negro neighbors. They were all gathered in the front of our black and white television set watching the news. They were at our house because not every Negro family could afford their own TV set at the time. Everyone in the house was silent and sad. There were a few of the ladies that were weeping and wiping away their tears. I opened the door and walked inside our house. Mama started talking to one of our lady neighbors about what was going on in the news. I tried to listen to what Mama was saying, but I could not because I did not want to appear like I was eavesdropping on her conversation with our neighbor. So I had to wait a couple of minutes until she finished speaking. I knew better not to eavesdrop or interrupt Mama while she was talking. I interrupted her twice before. The first time that I did it, she gave me a tongue lashing and a warning. Mama made it a point to me to explain why I should never appear nosy or interrupt grown folks while they're talking. A couple of weeks ago, I forgot and did it again for the second time. This time Mama was not so nice. She did not say a word. She backhanded me so fast and popped me so hard on my lips for interrupting her again. Boy, I did not like it. But the truth is, I learned my lesson the hard way. When she finished speaking, Mama motioned to me to go in the kitchen. Mama told me to sit down at the table, and she began to explain to me in her caring motherly voice that President Kennedy, our president, was shot and killed by someone today. I was sad to hear this, and sad for his family too. But I was also relieved that the world was not ending. I was happy and sad at the same time. So I went outside to find my best friend, Brian. As I walked over to Brian's house, which was across the street on the corner, I noticed a lot of cars parked in front and on the side of his house. As soon as I knocked on Brian's door, a strange man with tears in his eyes opened the door and greeted me. He said with a husky voice, "Can I help you?" I remember what Mama said about being nosy, but I was curious why the strange man answered the door with tears in his eyes. So I looked inside the house, past him, and noticed that there were a lot of strange people there that I never saw before in Brian's house. I could tell that there was something wrong. I thought this was strange. There were several Negroes and white people with their eyes closed in a circle around Brian's mother, holding hands. There was another lady in the middle of the circle with Brian's mother. She was hugging and praying loudly so that everyone in the room could hear her. I asked the man if Brian could come out to play. The strange man told me nicely that Brian was not feeling well, that he could not come out to play today. So I went and played with my other friends for a little while. I then went back home, when my mama called me because it was time to eat dinner with my family. Later that evening, Mom put me in the bathtub. She told me that she was going over to Brian's house to speak with Brian's mother. She also said that Dad was in the backyard playing horseshoes with his friends, and that Sammy and Isaac were downstairs watching cartoons. Mom said that we should be right back. I finished taking my nighttime bath and put on my pajamas. 20 minutes later, Mama returned home from being over at Brian's house. Mom came back and was sitting on the couch. She called me and my two brothers to come and sit down next to her. Mama had tears streaming from her eyes. She began to explain to us that Brian's father had died on this day too. He was killed earlier that day in an automobile accident while going to work at his church. My mother knew Brian's father as a friend, a Christian pastor, community leader, and a good neighbor. Mom knew Brian was my best friend. She wanted to make sure that we were aware and not say anything that would upset my best friend or Brian's older brother, David, who was a friend to my two older brothers, Sammy and Isaac. I realized then that this was the reason so many people were at Brian's house earlier today. This was the first time in my young life that I understood that people do die, and that even good people that believed in God and trusted Him die too. Even at the age of 5, I knew that President Kennedy was our first Catholic president. This came from hearing what was always said about him on the television news. I thought about our president, a family man, a Catholic, and the most powerful man in the world, and my best friend's father, who I knew as Brian's father, and a church pastor. They were men who believed and loved God, and both were killed on the same day. I questioned God about why this happened. He never did answer me. This was the beginning of my many talks with God and the beginning of my personal father-son relationship with our Abba Father. Amen.